A very good evening to you. Welcome to this service. I was going to say, welcome to this service of celebration, but I thought that might be and the front of your order of service puts it more appropriately. A service of blessing and farewell as we mark the end of one chapter and the beginning of a new chapter in the ministries of Nick and of David. But in a very real sense, a change of chapter for you as a servant.
Because as two ministers leave, you prepare to receive two new ministers, and they too will contribute gifts and skills to the life of this circuit as you move forward. But tonight, quite rightly, we focus on giving thanks for the ministry that we've shared together with Nick and with David. And I'm delighted to be here representing the district at this service, not least because I know that you have valued their ministries, but we too have valued the work and the ministry that they've offered in the district too. David, more recently as an assistant chair, though it seems to me I first met David when I was interviewed for my current post, because he was involved in the setting up of the South East District from the very earliest stages, and Nick serving in a number of ways on the district policy committee, but also as the district grant secretary. So all of us have reason for gratitude tonight for the ministry that they've shared in and that they've offered. So welcome to this service, and I'm going to hand over to Nick.
So let us come and worship. If you can respond to the words in the bold type, and just to explain that the service will just progress. So when we get to hymns and songs, if you're able to stand, then please stand and we will sing them. If you need to stay seated, that's fine. Do what is best for you. So let's be still. As we gather in this place, let us open our minds to God. Blessed be God,
who sets us free.
As we gather in this place, let us open our hearts to God. Blessed be God,
who sets us free.
As we gather in this place, let us open ourselves to new possibilities. Blessed be God,
who sets us
free. Thank you. Regretfully, Eddie has not been able to make it here at the last minute. So my name is Teresa from Addlestone, and I'm standing in for him. Psalm 100, and it's entitled A Hymn of Praise. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before him with happy songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people, we are his flock. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. The Lord is good, his love is eternal, and his faithfulness lasts forever.
Let us pray. God of our beginnings and endings, ever behind us and ever before us, in creation you give us a life which is always changing. In our beginning and ending, in living and dying, strengthen our confidence in you, that in all the changes and chances of this world, we may rest on your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Amen.
A gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 7. Suppose one of you had a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
During the height of the recession, the BBC Radio 4 PM programme introduced a financial item that was called Up Shares, Down Shares. And to introduce it, every day they produced a variation on a very old jingle that was familiar particularly to people of my generation and probably older. Some of you might remember it from the 1960s and the 1970s, a television programme called Upstairs, Downstairs. The lead character was a Mr. Hudson, the butler. And it was the story of two very different worlds. The comings and goings and affairs of an affluent family who lived upstairs, and the ups and downs of relationships amongst the servant community who lived downstairs. Two different worlds that just occasionally met and crossed over one another. Of course, in those days, it was all very genteel and very respectable, and if it was repeated today, it would be far more salacious. Nowadays, reality TV, I think, would make much more of the gap between the privileged and wealthy few who lived upstairs and the hard work and sheer drudgery of the lives who lived of those who lived downstairs. The scripture passages that we've had read this evening are just one strand of thinking in the Bible about what it means for us to be the people of God. For us to be the people of God means making the descent below stairs and joining the community of servants. The community who at the end of the day can only say, I am a servant, I've done my job. It's only one strand, because there are other strands of thinking about what it is to be part of the people of God in Scripture as well, like being adopted as daughters and sons within God's family. But this evening, it's this strand of servanthood that I want us just to focus our attention on this for a while. And let's think first of all about the Gospel passage, one of Jesus' parables. It's about the duty of a servant, summed up in those last words. The servants say of themselves, we are worthless slaves, we've only done what we ought to have done. Is that how you feel about yourself? Might be helpful just to step back for a moment or two and think a bit about what it was that gave rise to Jesus' teaching. Jesus had told his disciples that they should be prepared to give a limitless number of times if someone wronged them. Seven times a day, if that was what was needed. Something that they realized was a lot easier said than done. And hard on the heels of Jesus teaching them that you've got to be forgiving comes this parable about obedience and duty. The simple message from Jesus about being a servant in the community of God is that you've got to do it whether you like it or not, because you are worthless slaves. We live in a society today which is, I think, obsessed with all kinds of trivial things. It was the late Cardinal Basil Hume who said of British society that we are a nation that is obsessed with sex and with shopping. You could actually probably add the obsession with celebrity to the list of obsessions that we have as well. In fact, the cult of celebrity that goes around in our society today actually gives us an opportunity, if you think about it, to indulge our other obsessions, which is sex and shopping. You can buy magazines that are devoted to gossip about celebrities, their shopping habits, and their relationships. Now, we might think that some of these celebrities genuinely deserve the status that we've given them because they're brilliant at something. We hear straight away about health, we hear straight away sort of news input and health checks on Cheryl Cole stroke Tweedy, who's got malaria. Danny Minogue tweeted the first picture of her baby when it was born yesterday, actually in an attempt to stop the celebrity magazines charging her lots of money for the first picture of her baby. But it does strike me that we've actually managed in this country particularly to take the cult of celebrity to an extreme, because now we make celebrities out of people who do nothing but stay locked up in a house for weeks on end. Now, there are very few of us who are totally immune from the cult of celebrity. We read the newspapers, we buy the magazines, we watch the television. It affects us all. But it does stand in very stark contrast to Jesus' parable about the servant. What else are worthless slaves if they are not the diametric opposite of celebrities? And isn't there just more than a hint of a possibility that we need to resist the cult of celebrity in the church? Isn't there something of it when we put leaders and ministers on pedestals? Perhaps it's also there when we hear church people saying, what we need is charismatic, dynamic leaders who can tell us where we must go and give us vision. Aren't we just looking for celebrity? People who will make us feel good about ourselves? According to the gospel, ministry does not begin in the rarefied atmosphere above stairs, but below stairs, amongst those who are simply doing their duty. After this evening, over the next couple of weeks, when David and Nick have left for new patterns of ministry in different places, this circuit, you will need to carry on moving into a next chapter. You continue to be called by God to carry on with the business of being faithful servants. They're called by God to carry on with the business of being faithful servants in the new places that they're going to. Among the people of God, doing your duty in obedience to Jesus is far more important than whether it is seen by others, whether it's celebrated in public. And in realizing that, don't we have yet another example of the kind of topsy-turvy nature of the kingdom of God, that Jesus was often talking about it? Servants who've simply done their duty are rarely, if ever, going to become celebrities in today's world. The world might even see them as worthless. But in the eyes of God, the servants who have done their duty are always precious. But I want to put alongside that some reflections on the passage from Isaiah, because I think the passage from Isaiah that we heard needs to be treated as a kind of complement to Jesus' words, lest we end up in the kind of place where we all think we're terrible, worthless people who've got nothing to contribute, and we just have to put up with being regarded as worthless. Because Isaiah wants to highlight the fact that a servant is someone who is called by God. The experts on Isaiah spend a lot of time speculating on who the servant that Isaiah writes about in his book really was. The one whom we heard described as my chosen, the one in whom my soul delights. That's God speaking about someone. One of his servants, you are my chosen, You are someone in whom my soul delights. Don't want us to worry about the detail of who the servant was. We're all servants, and the passage can address us at that kind of level. And in that passage, the Lord says, I have called you. To serve may be only our duty, but it's also a high calling from God. And Isaiah gives us the lasting impression that all of God's servants are special because God has chosen to lay his hands on their lives. We're all called to be disciple servants. We're all different. We have different skills and gifts. We have different capacities to develop new skills. And that's where the important dimension of calling comes in. God calls us to use the gifts and the skills we have. God calls us to nurture and develop our gifts and offer them back in service. But that service that we're all called to doesn't have to be restricted to the life of the church. In fact, for the vast majority of us, it's not restricted to the life of the church. It's what we do in our Monday to Saturday lives. David and Nick are going off to move to new challenges. They'll be discovering new skills, new gifts. They'll be confronted with new opportunities as they seek to be faithful servants in very different contexts to the ones that they've become familiar with here. David, as he takes up a role as a chair of district and superintendent at the same time, and you do seem to me have to be fairly superhuman to do that. And Nick, as he takes on the superintendency of the Sutton Circuit. But for the rest of you, as you look to the future, you also need to be looking at developing the ministries that God has entrusted to you. Discerning, because it is actually about prayerfully working it out with God. Discerning what new things God is calling you to do. What new gifts God is calling you to exercise in the building up of his kingdom. Words like those of Isaiah, it seems to me, always leave us with an immense sense of privilege that we are called by God to share in the work of service and ministry, whatever form that service or that ministry takes. They remind us that not only does Christian ministry begin below stairs, but it also begins in our everyday lives. God taking the people we are, taking the experiences we have, and using them for his purpose and for his glory. I've talked about the duty of a servant. I've talked about the privilege of being called as a servant. But the last word I want to leave with you is the word, very familiar word, grace. Because I think both of the passages that we had read tonight, from the Old Testament and from the Gospel, are shot through with grace. The servant that Jesus talks about in his parable may think that he or she is utterly worthless. But because of God's grace, they're not. God counts them as of infinite worth in the scheme of things. You may think that what you have to contribute, that what you have done and achieved is not particularly special or important, but because of God's grace, it is. God has given to Nick and to David and to those who have worked alongside them, the incredible privilege of working with him and sharing in his mission and ministry. God, in his grace, has enabled you to do that. I think that's what Isaiah was trying to say when he said that the servant's role was to bring light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to set free prisoners. God, by his grace, takes what we are, takes what we offer, to be part of what he is always doing in the life of the world. And through that, bringing his love and his joy and his freedom to others. We started with one of Jesus' parables. I think we should finish by remembering that Jesus was never setting unbearable demands on people, certainly never asking of them to give more than he was prepared to give himself. Jesus' own ministry was offered in obedient duty to God, lived out of a profound sense of God having called him. And the Gospel of John tells us that this Jesus took a towel and a basin and washed the feet of his disciples. As David and Nick move on, they and we remember that all of us are called, wherever we find ourselves, to be servants alongside the servant Christ. Amen.
For those of you who do not know me, I'm Peter Milne, a member of the church here at Knapp Hill, and also one of the circuit stewards. So, whilst I have several hats on, this evening I'm here to speak on behalf of all of you in making some farewell comments to David and Nick. So, what is there to say about David and Nick? David, Catherine, Rachel and Jonathan, Nick, Sandra and Tom, all arrived in August, September 2005. David as our superintendent minister at Walton, and Nick as a probationer minister here at Knapp Hill. I believe I'm right in saying David also had oversight for Addleston at the time. So that could become relevant as we go forwards. So over the last 5 years, there have been a number of changes, a number of developments. Nick successfully completed his probationary period and has completed his degree. Congratulations. And he's taken on an important role in the district following his ordination about 3 years ago. As well as taking over shared responsibility for Addleston with our deacon, Richard Goldstraw. Now, I'm sure all of you know that Nick is a committed follower of Doctor Who and an avid collector of their memorabilia. Now, if you weren't aware of that, I do really want to know where you've been for the last 5 years and how many of Nick's services you missed. Although I am told it is not referred to in as many services as we think it is. It just feels like that. During David's time at Walton, he has also taken on a district role, becoming assistant chair of the eastern part of this district, which has had its challenges, and which will understandably and undoubtedly hold him in good stead in his next position. I hadn't realised until John said it that he was also going to be superintendent, and no doubt there have been lessons learnt in that sphere as well, as he moves to the Channel Islands with his family. I think I'm also right in saying, David, that you've also been undertaking another degree qualification. Is that completed?
Yes.
Another 2 years. Well, we'll hold the congratulations for 2 years' time. And we wish you well with that. Now, interestingly enough, as I understand it, the degree that, that David's been involved in has meant him travelling regularly to America. And this is all the more amazing because when you add that to the fact that his new position is in the Channel Islands, which by its very definition is not attached to the mainland, I understand David's not very keen on flying. And I think, as Catherine put it to me, God's got a funny sense of humour. So that's a little bit about Nick and David. We're very grateful for all that they have done for us in this circuit over these last 5 years. We know they've faced a number of challenges, and I think we're all very, very grateful for the way in which they have addressed those challenges. I think the hymn that we just sang about brother, sister, let us serve you is very appropriate, and as John said, and we thank you for the way in which you have served us and been servants to us. Now, I have the gift and card for David and Nick, which comes from all the churches in the circuit. And when I was looking for a card, I realised that not only there was quite a lot of choice, but there were also several different relevant subjects. Nick's panicking at the moment, but it's not actually going there. Should it be, sorry you are leaving, which is very appropriate, or good luck in your new job? Again, highly appropriate, as both David and Nick are stepping up a level in the Methodist structure. And we congratulate them on those promotions, and we wish them every blessing in those new roles. There's also welcome to your new home. It's probably a little premature, because they haven't actually got there yet, but will be relevant in due course. And in David and Catherine's case, I did see a card that says, "Bon voyage as you sail across the sea." Not sure how many of those they actually sell, but there it was on the stand. And once again, that's appropriate because I'm sure their furniture is going by sea, even if they are not. In the end, I settled for a simple thank you card, because we give thanks that David, Nick and their families were brought to our circuit, for the contribution that all of them have made in their churches and in the ministry at Walton, Knaphill and Addleston, for the way they've served us throughout the circuit, and for their involvement in the district. So on behalf of all the churches in the circuit, I say, sorry you're leaving. Good luck. Best wishes in your new home when you get there. Safe travelling. See you again soon, but not goodbye. And a very, very big thank you to you from all of us. So please join me in a round of applause to say thanks to Nick, David, and our family.
Thank you, Peter. It's so unusual hearing your obituary while you're still alive. And two at once is even more unusual. Nick said that I should go first, as I was always the one who talked longer than anyone else. I think the last 5 years have proved all evidence to the contrary, but here we are anyway. It feels sort of a bit like the Oscars, really, because what I want to do is to say thank you, and I've got an awful lot of people to thank. I really want to thank you in this circuit for having risked allowing me to be your superintendent for the last 5 years. It's been a thrill to be here to see the ways that the circuit has developed, the uniqueness of each church serving its own community. I've been grateful very much for the colleagueship amongst the staff and the circuit stewards. And I want to express my particular thanks to the local preachers. Now, I've been a local preacher now for quite a while, and until I came to this circuit, it has to be said, I always loathed and detested local preachers' meetings with a passion. I have to say that things have changed in this circuit, and I think this was typified by one evening when we spent an entire animated evening discussing the Wesleyan doctrine of sanctification. Now, if you want to know what the Wesleyan doctrine of sanctification is, then there are lots of local preachers who are very clued up on it now. But I think in that meeting something changed. It wasn't just a business meeting, but a time to share our faith together and to share it with so many local preachers on note and on trial. So I want to say thank you to the circuit for allowing me to share in your life. Thank you too for releasing me quite a bit of my time, really, to study in America. Still 2 years to go. Thank you for allowing me to serve as an assistant chair in the district. It was an interesting experience being superintendent of two circuits 80 miles apart at the same time, with the M25 in between, just for a bit of fun. I want to say thank you particularly to my family, who must have wondered for quite a bit of the last 5 years where I was. Is it America? Is it Kent? Is it during the last year, the connectional meetings? I think I spent 7 days at home last month in between the Channel Islands and other places, the Methodist Conference, exciting places like Portsmouth. Thank you to my family for remembering me. And thanks to God for grace and strength and mercy, and as Peter rightly said, an awful big sense of humour. I've seen the aeroplanes that fly between the Channel Islands. They're bright yellow, which I think is so that when they crash into the mountain, when they crash into Alderney, you can see them that little bit easier. And when you see them sort of circling as they come to land into the airport at Guernsey, they both look and sound like a doodlebug V1 flying bomb. Especially when the lady at the check-in desk said, "Keep your coat on, the windows don't fit terribly well." Which brings me to the Channel Islands in a sort of roundabout way. Thank you so much for the kind wishes and greetings you've given to me and the family as we prepare to set sail, quite literally, for the Channel Islands. I am so delighted that I've been asked practically every week for nearly 2 years, "So are we going to see you on Island Parish next then?" The short answer is no. The longer answer is that I'm going to the Channel Islands and not the Scilly Isles. And I did check up that it's 181 nautical miles between Guernsey and St. Mary's in the Scilly Isles. One is near France, the other somewhere off in the Atlantic. And the blessing is that an island parish has moved to Scotland. It's going to be a Highland parish, where they can do for the Church of Scotland what they did for the Methodist Church in Cornwall. I am honoured to have been asked to go to the Channel Islands, but I am filled with excitement, trepidation, wonder, bewilderment, all those sorts of emotions that you feel as you move on. But I hope for one thing which I think we've explored in this circuit together, and that's a prayer for imagination. I think I am more convinced now than ever before that the thing that God calls us all to do is to use our imaginations, to dream dreams, and to see where God can lead us. I was given a card a few weeks ago, which I quoted in the last edition of Flight Path that I wrote for, which is that you cannot discover new lands without consenting to lose sight of the shore. Well, for me, it's literally true and metaphorically true. It's not easy to take risks, to lose sight of what's familiar, but it is something that God, I think, calls us all to do. But wherever I go, whatever mode of transport I'm having to go by, I will be always grateful for the privilege of spending 5 years in ministry with you in this circuit. And I wish you every blessing. Thank you for your blessings to us. And if you're ever in the Channel Islands, then do come and see us. Those planes, on the whole, do manage to land safely, so they tell me.
you. Then we'll know who talks the longest. Oh, you timed him. 4 minutes, 59, too long. Oh, sorry. It has been a real privilege to serve in this circuit as my first appointment. You don't get a lot of choices as a probationer. You kind of get sent without even having the interview that you get the second time around. Well, whoever was on the stationing committee did the right thing. This has been a real privilege for both Sandra and I to share in ministry. First at Knapp Hill. There's not many ministers who get the blessing as a probationer of having just one church to look after. I am very grateful for that because it gave us a chance to get to know one another and to move forward with speed. Perhaps one of the little disadvantages when we look after a number of churches is it's not always as easy to build the momentum. I think one of the privileges to me is the local preachers, but in perhaps a different way to David. Not in the local preachers' meetings, much as they have been fun, but in the fact that if you've noticed, the local preachers in training, who are on note, who are on trial, have mainly come from this church. And I am really privileged to have been able to serve them and to encourage them, to cry with them over their essays when they haven't got a clue what to write, and that's been frequent, to help discover the joy when I discover they know far more theologically than I do on some subjects, and to rejoice in that. And perhaps the biggest blessing of all is to come after David and I have left. There may not have been in our time a candidate going forward all the way for ministry, but we are delighted that both Paul and Ruth are considering going forward, and we look forward to rejoicing in their success, be it in being taken the whole way through to ministry or whether God takes them on a different journey completely. But we rejoice in that. I have not mentioned Doctor Who that many times, Peter. It only got mentioned tonight because you mentioned it. It's amazing how myths grow up. It's also amazing how many rituals and traditions the church creates, I think, by doing things twice. Please don't hold rituals and traditions from our era. Rather be the people of God as he calls you to be and as you go ahead. Allow David and Mike the freedom to try new things, to be creative in new ways, and to bring the gifts that they bring, the graces that God gives them, and allow them to do that, and don't hold on to, well, the old folk did it that way. We are not worthy. We are but servants. And John, I want to thank you for that word, because it's a timely reminder that we are just but servants. And I thank God that I don't have to travel hundreds of miles to my new appointment, that I don't have to travel on boats, particularly as I spent a week at conference in Portsmouth. And we used to eat on the quayside, listening to David going on about the name of each boat or ship as it went through the harbour. He is truly suited and blessed to the Channel Islands, and may God go with him and to them. Clearly, I am gifted and blessed to Surrey, because even transferring to the London district, I'm still in Surrey, just half an hour down the road, but a different challenge and different opportunities. And I thank God for what will be good, bad, tough and hard. But what I will take away most from here are the friendships that I have made, the endearing commitments to one another and to the kingdom of God. And perhaps the lasting memory above all of them will be the group who sadly are not here to worship tonight, because they have gone to worship with other Iranians today, and it's good that they are doing that. In fact, part of it was because we started so early and they couldn't have their worship today and they wanted it. So good to them. But my Iranian friends, who become a very important part of our church here, because it does step us outside the boundaries of our ministry into something new. Thank you, and I just pray that God will bless every one of you as you journey forward and as God opens up new and exciting frontiers to you. Thank you.
And it's entirely right that we should, in this service, include special prayers for Nick and for David. So we join together in the liturgy of farewell and blessing that's to be found in your order of service. I think Nick and David ought to come back out again because there is a prayer for them to join in. Eternal and wonderful God, you give life to all. Your days are without end, your loving mercies without number. Tonight we celebrate all that Nick and David have done in this church and circuit, for all that they are, for all that you have done through them, for the Christian witness they've shown to others, and for the lives that they have touched by their faithfulness to your calling. This evening we recognise your greatness. We also recognise our failings and realise that in our human frailty you heal and cleanse all that is imperfect. So we repent before God and before one another. Forgive us, Lord, when we have failed to be true to your word, when we have been slow to recognise the needs of others, preferring to consider our own needs, when we have been divided, sought opposite goals, and caused hurt. Forgive us, Lord, when we have failed to support each other as we should, when we have been slow to follow or quick to anger, when we have taken care for granted, forced unfair expectations on others, and for the mistakes we have made.
Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have been hesitant to follow where you lead, for the mistakes that I have made, for the times when I have fallen short of your glory. Grant me new visions of your love and your will for me.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old order has gone. The new order has already begun. Christ accepts us all as his sons and daughters. And through his death and resurrection, we share his wholeness and abundant life. And so, God of grace, we thank you for those whom we know and love. You have invited us to share with one another in your name. And so we give you thanks for our lives together. Thank you for our time in community, for the enjoyment of friendships, for the enrichment of worship, for the freedom to serve others, and for the power to affirm ourselves in faith. We thank you for the signs that you show us of your kingdom here among us. For all that God can do without us, for all that God can do within us, thanks be to God. For all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lived beside us, thanks be to God. For all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us, thanks be to God. God beyond all borders and time, we bless you for the strange places and the different dreams, for the demands and diversity of a wider world, for the distance that lets us look back and re-evaluate, for new ground where broken stems can take root, grow, and blossom. God of our lives, you are always calling us to follow you into the future, inviting us into new ventures, new challenges, new ways to care, new ways to touch the hearts of all. When we are fearful of the unknown, give us courage. When we worry that we're not up to the task, remind us that you would not call us if you did not believe in us. When we feel tired or feel disappointed with the way things are going, remind us that you can bring change and hope out of the most difficult situations. So, Lord God,
We pray that you will be with Nick and David as they leave us. Give them a vision as to what can be achieved and the courage and energy to fulfill that vision. Be with them through the highs and lows, that their faith may shine out to others as it has shone out to us. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and strength. Amen.
Just while I'm here, on behalf of David and I, can I just say one other thank you, which is to all the people who have organised today. The people who have put the food together, the people who have prepared the church, the worship group for being here, the technical people, John for coming and sharing in our worship. It means a lot to us that you have all done that. We want to respond out of God's grace tonight. We didn't put the word collection in. Elizabeth will be cheering. I know it's the least favourite bit of her life as a local preacher when it gets to the collection. Sorry, Elizabeth. But we didn't put one in because we didn't know what we were doing. We will have a retiring collection, i.e. a plate by the door. And we would invite you to give and to give generously because we would both like to support the work of MRDF, the Methodist Relief and Development Fund, which does tremendous work. It's just launched a new appeal. And it really is worthy of our support. And it is one of those charities which has been very badly hit by the recession and the impact on what it can do. It funds some very important projects. So we ask of you tonight to give to that and to give generously.
Let us pray. In humility of heart, let us pray to God, who cares for everyone. We ask you, dear God, to keep alive in your church the joy of believing. Grant to our President and Vice President every good gift. We remember our covenant relationship with the Anglican Church, Church of England. And we remember Rowan, Archbishop of Canterbury, and the Church of England at this difficult time. We pray for St. Michael's and St. Peter's as two ecumenical projects. We ask you to strengthen John, our Chair of District, in grace and knowledge, and give wisdom to David, our Synod Secretary. In this circuit, we give thanks for Vaughan's service as Circuit Steward, and we pray for the present Circuit Stewards and the new Circuit Stewards and our Circuit Treasurer. Preserve the nations in your peace. We think of Afghanistan, of Israel, Palestine, Korea, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, make every home your dwelling place. We think of the homes that we have come from and the people that we share our lives with in them. We remember young couples starting out on life seeking a home. We remember those inadequately housed. And we remember the homeless. We pray, dear God, that you would rid the world of all injustice, and we give thanks for the work of Fair Trade, MRDF, and all who work for justice. We ask that you would be the companion of those who travel Once more we ask for Nick and Sandra and Tom and David and Catherine and the children as they journey to new places, new work situations, new schools. May they know you there before them, you who have prepared the way. And Lord, we ask you to bless those for whom there will be no sleep tonight, those who must work throughout the night, those who work in our service stations, those who journey through the night by sea or land or air, to bring us our food, our letters and our newspapers for the morning. For those who must be on duty all night to maintain the public services and to ensure the safety and the security of others. Doctors who must wait to usher new life into the world, to close the eyes of those for whom this life is passing away, to ease the sufferer's pain. We pray for all nurses in our local hospitals and homes, and all who watch by the bedside of those who are ill. Remember those who this night will not sleep because of the pain of their body or the distress of their mind. And we give thanks for the work of the Samaritans. We think of those in misfortune, those who wonder where they're going to pay the next mortgage repayment, and those who will lie down tonight in hunger and in cold. And in this evening, our Lord, may we know you present in our lives, guiding us ahead into the future, and may we know your peace and joy in our hearts. And we ask all these prayers in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but thine is the kingdom, power and glory, forever and ever.